This morning we will be focusing on Christ's resurrection. We will be looking at it, we will be examining it, and I hope that we will be learning that Jesus Christ truly did rise from the dead. Many in the world today, they doubt Christ's resurrection. Even some of the scholars who have done much research, they will say, oh, there might have been a Jesus, but surely he did not rise from the dead. And so today we examine our Savior. Last week we saw that Jesus Christ was crucified, and what a horrible death it was. And he was buried. They laid him in a tomb, a hole in a rock, with a stone rolled in front to prevent him from escaping. But then Jesus Christ rose from the dead. If you'll go with me to Mark chapter 16, we're going to read how Jesus Christ rose just as he said. Mark chapter 16. And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, just as a side note, Sunday's the first day of the week. I know today there's a push for Monday to now be called the first day of the week, but Sunday's the first day of the week. And here, the first day of the week was when Christ rose very early in the morning. It says, and they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he saith unto them, be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him as he said unto you. And they went quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. Now when Jesus was risen early, the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. And she went and told them that had been with him, as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had not and had been seen of her, believed not. We're going to stop there at this point. Let's have a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the clarity of it. We thank you for the way that the writers of the Gospels very clearly described our Savior and all the events of his life that they gave to us, how they tend to lead us to understand and believe in the precious one who died for our sins and rose again. Father, we ask that you would open our eyes to behold not only the wondrous things that you have done, but to behold that we can believe and trust in a great God who would not leave his son in the tomb. And Father, we ask that you would open any eyes that are blinded to their need, any eyes that are blinded to the sacrifice of the cross. And Lord, might they today behold the risen Savior and come again rejoicing, knowing you personally, knowing you in their heart. And we ask these things, Lord, that your name would receive the glory. Amen. We have here the description by Mark of Jesus Christ's resurrection. And I want us to notice first that the disciples, they were human and very normal. There in verse 10, we find that the disciples were mourning and weeping. their best friend for the last 3 years, who they had been following, who had been teaching them from God's word, whom they had seen do great and wondrous things, he had died. They had turned their back and ran when he was taken, tried, and crucified, and he was dead. And though it had been 3 days, yet still their heart wept. Yet still they were gathered together crying over the loss that they had felt. Each one of us have experienced grief at some point, and for those of you too young to have felt its weight, it is coming. You will feel the loss of someone that you cared for, that you didn't just know passingly, but that you longed to see again. And that grief is not something that just comes and goes. It sits with you. It's heavy. The disciples were very normal in this. But I want us to notice they were not very hopeful in this. They were mourning and weeping as if they had lost Jesus, never to see him again. Even though he had told them specifically how he was going to die, being crucified. Even though he had told them that he would rise again, yet they had little hope that he would do so. They believed not. I want you to notice that in verse 11. This was the recurring theme. I don't know if you've noticed it in Mark. We've had Jesus saying things over and over again, and the disciples occasionally get it right, but most often they are just as unbelieving as the others. They don't want to believe that Jesus, the Messiah, was sent to die for their sins. That is not part of their picture. That's not part of how they think God is going to work. They think Christ is going to come, the Messiah is going to come as the conquering hero to reign for 1,000 years. The Son of David sitting upon the throne high and lifted up. That's what they wanted. That's what they believed. They believed not. There in verse 11, they heard the testimony of one who said, Jesus is alive, just as he said, and they believed not. Even though Mary had given them, that is Mary Magdalene, had given them direct testimony of her interaction with Jesus, yet they believed not. Maybe today you have heard the testimony of Christians saying, my life is very different because Jesus Christ has changed me. Maybe you have heard testimony of the gospel writers who saw Jesus with their own eyes. Maybe you have heard testimony of how wonderful Jesus is and his purpose for dying on the cross, that he came to forgive, to heal, to comfort, for sins to be washed away in the only way that they can be, by the precious blood of one who was perfect, holy, and righteous. You've heard this and you have discounted it. You've said, how unlikely. And if we were looking for unlikely things, someone rising from the dead is pretty unlikely. It's only happened a handful of times in Scripture. Only a handful of times. A few prophets were able to raise from the dead a young boy or another. This happened only on a couple of occasions. And Christ himself only raised in the Gospels 2 people from the dead. And yet we find, while it is very rare, very unusual, an act of God beyond compare, yet it is true. It is true. Today we are going to look at a couple of reasons to believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And the first one is actually probably the hardest one to understand. You have to put yourself into the shoes of the disciples. They have seen Jesus Christ raise other people from the dead. Some of these disciples had seen Jesus not very long before, shining with the glory of heaven, such that it looked like he was God. He is God, but he looked like it. Instead of just looking like any other Jewish man at the time, he looked like the Son of God. He was transfigured to show who he truly was. They had seen that. Some of these same disciples had been sent out by Jesus and done miracles that we can't even imagine. Healing people with diverse diseases. Healing people who've been born blind. This is what Jesus did. Healing people who are lame, physically unable to walk, and it's repaired at a word from Jesus. Leprosy, a disease that was completely untreatable in those days, and yet Jesus healed. In all of these things, they had seen that Jesus had the power of God to do miraculous things. And that's not even describing all of the other kinds of miracles that Jesus did in their presence. Stilling the water in the midst of a storm. Walking on water. Breaking a couple of loaves of bread and a few fishes and feeding thousands of people. Not once, but twice. These are miracles that would tend to give you a bit of confidence in the person who makes the pronouncement that he would rise from the dead. You might think, well, it's unlikely anybody else might rise from the dead, but, you know, this guy, he spoke and Lazarus came out of the tomb. He spoke and people across town were healed immediately from that hour. He spoke and things happened. Like the wind and the waves dying down. Jesus Christ could do that, then surely when he spoke and said, I will rise again on the third day, he could do it. The disciples then are not being cast in a very good light. They are not being cast in a very good light, are they? In verse 11, they believed not. And then if we jump down two verses to verse 13, it says, and they went and told it unto the residue, that is to the gathering, neither believed they them. There were two others who were walking down the road and Jesus appeared unto them and talked with them. And when they realized who it was, they ran back to Jerusalem, back to the 12 disciples, and they didn't believe. So they've had multiple witnesses saying, we've seen Jesus, he's definitely risen, and they still don't believe. You might say, how is this a good argument to believe that the gospel account is true? Well, I'm sure you've heard people tell tall tales before. Maybe it's your child trying to get out of some sort of problem that is their fault, and they tell you a tall tale. And it always makes them look as good as possible. Or maybe someone is bragging about what good things they have done, and you know that it couldn't possibly be the way they have said it, because there's just too many positive things and not one misstep. Surely a human's going to fail some point along the story. At the very least, they're leaving something out. But instead, the disciples and the gospel writers are here recording their shame in great detail. Last week when we saw that, 2 weeks ago, sorry, when we saw that Peter had failed, where he had turned his back and betrayed Christ, not by kissing him, but rather by saying, I do not know this man. Denying him with cursings and swearings. That is not something that Peter would be proud of. And yet it is recorded for us because it's real, because it's true. The disciples here are painted in a very bad light. They believed not. They believed not. We also find that they are painted they are not painting the gospel here in a way that is very acceptable to the people at the time. In verses 1 through 6, we have the ladies coming to the tomb. And they were the first ones there. And so the gospel writer here in Mark tells us, Mary Magdalene, the other Mary, Salome, these are the ones who came and they saw that the tomb was empty. And then Mary Magdalene saw Jesus. We have more details in Matthew and in Luke about how intimate that relationship was between Mary and Jesus, and how all he had to do was say her name and then she recognized him. Whereas before, the tears had blinded her from seeing who he was. But this is not the kind of testimony that holds any weight for a Jewish audience in the first century. Today, we have perhaps moved past the idea that a woman's testimony is not acceptable. But in those days, if you brought a matter to law or you were trying to prove your case, you would not bring the women's testimony because it needed to be confirmed multiple times over, as well as needed additional confirmation from at least one man to stand in Jewish courts. This, then, is not being said because it's going to add weight. In fact, it is perhaps the least likely way to convince a Jewish group in AD 100. It's the least possible way. If we tell you that this group that is not trustworthy enough to tell something in court, they now are bearing testimony, that doesn't hold much weight to convince you that something is true. And yet, because it happened, it is recorded for us. So we have the fact that things look bad for the disciples, the ones who you might think would be the heroes trying to prop themselves up all the way along. They believed not, they believed not, they didn't understand, they didn't think Jesus would truly rise from the dead. Their unbelief is underlined and underscored in this passage, that surely they would have made sure that the testimony they made, that the account they gave, painted them in a lot better light. And they definitely would have relied upon the testimony of the two who were walking from Jerusalem, because at least one of them was a man, and therefore it's a much stronger case to be made. But no, they include all of it so that you can know firsthand testimony of what happened, not what looks good, not what makes the strongest case, but what is true. Because they are not concerned about how it appears in regards to the disciples, the 11 at this point. They are not concerned with how it appears, but they are concerned with the truth of what happened. They are concerned with you understanding and knowing that Jesus Christ truly rose from the dead. I want us to note that we also see here a number of different sightings that are listed for us. And these are only a few of the ones that are listed in the other Gospels or in Acts or in Corinthians and so forth, where we could point to, oh, here's a couple of other people who might have seen. But even just the handful that we have here gives us confidence that it truly occurred. You might think one person might be confused, might be tricked, might have misunderstood what was going on, and in their grief they just wouldn't accept that Jesus was truly dead, and I saw him. But no, there was multiple people and they were all convinced that Jesus was dead. I mean, these ladies were going to the tomb where he was so that they could put ointments, sweet smelling offerings at his tomb, and hopefully on his body. Again, just so you note there, they didn't know how they were going to get into the sepulcher, that is the tomb. The door was blocked by a stone that was too heavy for them to move. And so they were hoping, but they didn't have an actual plan for getting in. They were going to be there as quick as they could. They wanted to do this for Jesus because they loved him. But they saw, Mary saw Jesus with her own two eyes. She heard him. She touched him. He was there. And the two there in verse 12, we'll read that. After that, he appeared in another form or at another point unto two of them as they walked and went into the country. They were walking with Jesus, and he walked right beside them. He walked with them, and he talked with them. He asked them questions, and then he explained to them things from the Old Testament, saying, "This is right. Christ Jesus should have died. And the Messiah should have died, and then he should have risen from the dead. That's not a rumor, that's the truth. It's foretold in the Old Testament." And Jesus explained out of the Old Testament all things concerning himself. Sometimes I wish I could have been with them on that journey. Often when we're going through the Old Testament, we find things and we say, "What is this in here for? What can I learn out of the book of Judges?" Or, "How can this genealogy help me to understand Christ better?" And we struggle with understanding the Old Testament in light of Christ. But all to have heard him explain to us himself, foretold in all of Scripture, wow, that would have been amazing. But we had Jesus appearing to them. And remember, at this point, the disciples, the 11, they still do not believe Jesus. These three are not the only ones who saw Jesus. In verse 14, we find, "Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat," that is, while they were eating, "and upbraided them," that is, he rebuked them pretty soundly, "he upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen." Jesus was seen of the 11. So now we've got 14, am I counting right? Yeah, 14 people listed for us in the book of Mark. And we find in the other Gospels many others also who saw Jesus after his resurrection. But these are listed for us by Mark so that we can believe the testimony. Well, once again, I want you to notice that these 11, what is told to them is very harsh. Their unbelief is pointed out and corrected by Christ. If we were to tell a story of how great things were and how we did everything, we would not include how hard-hearted we were, how unbelieving we were, how unimpressed we were with the miracles of our precious Savior. We would withhold those things. But the disciples aren't holding back any of that. These 11, they readily told everyone. Not, "We were stupid. We didn't listen. Our hearts were hardened. We would not believe. We didn't want to believe. We didn't think it was possible for Jesus Christ to rise from the dead, because they want you to believe." I want you to see that they went from unbelieving to believing after this. Jesus accuses them of hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had seen him after he was risen. Because they did not believe the testimony of those who had seen Jesus, who had touched him, who had talked to him, who had walked with him. Because they had not believed the testimony, Jesus Christ, he upbraided them. That is, he attacked them harshly with his words concerning their unbelief and hardness of hearts. Right here is where I ask you, do you believe that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead? What would it take for you to believe in such an improbable thing? I have talked with some who do not want to believe that Christ Jesus lived, died, and rose again. They do not want to believe that Jesus Christ is risen. And they are very hard in their hearts. The level of proof they need is higher than anything else. They'll believe what's told to them in the newspaper 90% of the time. They'll believe what their neighbor tells them if it's some hot gossip. They'll believe in many things, but they will not believe the testimony concerning Christ because they don't want to. They don't want to. Their heart is hardened against the truth of Christ's resurrection. We sang that song just this morning. Jesus Christ is living in us. How do we know that He lives? He lives within our hearts. And for every Christian who testifies, Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, and look at how He has changed me. Look at how He took me from being evil, unbelieving, hard-hearted, angry, against God, and turned me into one who loves the brethren, who trusts God at His word, who prays and receives answers. This is a change completely. It's not a 360 change. Not a back to where you started change. It's a 180 degree change. Going against God as His enemy, and now we are redeemed. We are blood-bought sinners. We are perfect in Christ. We stand before Him, holding none of our own righteousness, but Christ's righteousness pleading for us. This testimony you have heard, but what would you need? Some would say that they would need to see with their own eyes in order to believe. They're not going to take anyone else's testimony. No written record would be sufficient. No volumes of arguments for or against would sway them. And it doesn't matter how persuasive the guy up the front is speaking. They were not going to believe. They would not believe. And in fact, Jesus said that though one rose from the dead, those hard-hearted Pharisees would not believe or repent. And Jesus Christ did rise from the dead. And those hard-hearted Pharisees and scribes that He was talking to, as far as we know, none of them turned to Christ. That group that He spoke to, they knew that Christ had risen from the dead, and yet they would not believe. They would not believe. And so the question comes to you, what is your standard for belief? We've given a few reasons. There's a number of people who saw Jesus. They testified about it. They wrote it down. It was written and distributed while they were still alive, so they could say, that's not actually what I said. That's not what I meant. You guys have taken it out of context. But no, what was said and what was written down stood because they all said this is true. We have the testimony. We also have the fact that these testimonies were not exactly flattering to the ones who were giving that testimony. How many more reasons do you need to believe that Jesus Christ truly died and rose again the third day? Jesus wants us to know that He has risen from the dead. And so He commissioned His disciples, these 11, to go. There in verse 15 we can read this. And He said unto them, go ye into the world and preach the gospel, the good news to every creature. Preach the good news to every creature. Jesus Christ, He declared that He was risen from the dead and that His 11 disciples at this point would go forth and tell everyone the good news. If you knew that there was a cure for cancers, you would go out joyfully and probably a little bit excited to tell everyone, here's how you can be free from cancer. Here's how you can see loved ones protected from cancer or healed from cancer. You would go and tell everyone you knew. Maybe you would even make some money off of it. If you had a cure, people would pay. And even if you only charged 1 cent per person, there's a lot of people who have gotten cancer over the years. So if you had a cure, you would be rich as well. You would be excited to explain this wonderful news. Jesus Christ died upon the cross so that he could bring forgiveness of sins to his people and to all who would trust in him. And all he asks is that you believe and come unto him. That's all he's asked. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. That battle that has been going on since your birth between you and God can be brought to a peaceful conclusion. A conclusion where you are righteous and deserving of sitting in heaven forever in God's presence. This is an amazing good news or gospel. But it starts right here with Jesus Christ rising from the dead. You see, if Jesus Christ rises not, then we are of all men most miserable because we believed a lie. But if Jesus Christ be risen from the dead, then we have a hope of being raised ourselves to forever be with him. Because the one who prophesied, I will die, I will be crucified, even describing, as we saw last week, how he would be betrayed, who would do it, and going on through all of that, the very one who prophesied that also prophesied, I will rise again on the third day, and he did. He rose from the dead on the third day, proving himself to be true. Proving that what he said was true. And when he cried out to his disciples, where I am, there ye shall be also, that promise continues to ring down through the ages. If you know Jesus and he has rescued you from your sins and you have seen that he is resurrected as he said, you know he will resurrect you if you die. You know that he will catch you up to be with him in the clouds if you still happen to be here on earth when he comes again. And you will forever be with your Lord. Forever. His promise is true. He is a prophet who is not false. You can rely on him. You can rely on him. As we were singing Christ Arose this morning, the middle verse, I can't remember if it was the second or third verse, said that Jesus Christ, when he died, death couldn't hold him there. It couldn't hold him there. It couldn't hold him there. What is the great battle that we face as human beings? Well, we face sin in our life, doing things that we didn't intend to in the first place. Things that are wrong. Things we knew were wrong when we did it. Sin. Sin not only against fellow man, but against God. Sin against our consciences. We sin constantly. But also, we face the battle of death. Every single one of us is guaranteed that when we were born, we would also have a death day to put on that gravestone. Bar a few people who will meet Jesus in the air. But for the rule is, not the exception, the rule is each one of us will die. It's put in one place that it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. But Jesus Christ did not stay dead, nor did someone else come and pull his body out and revive it in some way. No, Jesus was fully dead, and then he arose under his own power and authority. He arose conquering death, conquering sin, and conquering hell. And it is proven in that he is risen. The resurrection of Christ is such an important doctrine to Christianity that Christians from the book of Acts, that is, that first century AD, till now, have worshipped Christ, gathered together on Sundays, because on the first day of the week, Christ rose from the dead. On the first day of the week, Christ rose from the dead. And so every Sunday, when we gather together, it truly is reminding us of our resurrected Savior, that He is risen. Sometimes we lose sight of that. Sometimes we lose sight of the fact that Christ has purchased so much in His resurrection. And the only reason that we lose sight of Jesus Christ's death and resurrection is because of unbelief and hardness of heart. And so the final call comes out this morning. The final call that I will make out to you is this. Why is there any unbelief or hardness of heart in your life? Trust Christ has risen from the dead. Do not delay. What more do you need? Would you believe if Jesus Christ appeared before you at this very moment? I suggest if you cannot take the testimony of the Gospels, that you would not take any testimony. And you would not believe even though one rose from the dead and stood in front of you. You would still harden your heart, draw your swords, and fight against God with every last breath that you have. And so I beg of you, will you not hear Jesus' sweet call today? Come unto me. I'm meek and lowly. I will receive you. That is Jesus' cry to you. His cry is, I'm not better than you. I'm not bigger than you. I'm not more important than you. I want you to come to me. That's Jesus' cry. Come to him today. If you do not know him in his saving power, in his resurrection. And Christian, do you act like Jesus Christ is risen? He sees you every day. And one day you will be with him. Have you pretended in your heart that he is dead, he is gone? Or are you looking forward to that day when he will come again? Do you walk as if he is right there beside you because Jesus Christ promised that he would send the Comforter to dwell within us, that we would be able to follow everything that Jesus taught while he was here on earth? Do you have unbelief and hardness in your heart, O Christian? Have you ignored the Savior? And so, the cry today is, Christ Jesus is risen. Will you believe? Will you believe? Let's close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we beg of you this morning that you would work your words deep into our heart. Lord, I thank you that you are all good, that you are all loving, that you loved us so much that you sent your Son to die on the cross for us. And Lord, I thank you that you did not leave your Son in the grave to see corruption, but that you raised him from the dead after 3 days, just as he had said. That you proved the power not only to forgive sins, not only that the price had been paid, but that you were powerful enough to bring us to heaven, no matter if death stood in the way. Father, we ask that you would Open the hearts and eyes of those who don't know you as Savior, who are hearing this message today, that they would truly consider what they would need to hear in order to believe, what they would need to see in order to believe, and then to say, Jesus Christ is sufficient. The testimony that He left for us is enough. We will believe. We will trust. Father, we ask these things that our lives might be different from here on out. In Jesus' name, amen.